Hope everyone's doing well. It's December 1st, actually. I was thinking about that on the way over here. The last time I talked to Philip, it was Halloween, and it was about 30 degrees cooler than what it is on December 1st.
Don't wait till tomorrow.
Wait till tomorrow, exactly. Yeah, it's supposed to snow tomorrow, actually. So it'll be more December-like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
If you have your Bibles, we'll be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll be reading through 3 verses, 6 through 9. But kind of the gist before we get into it is about how the Christian life is a garden, and then how in the day that we're living in, that we know how the devil's having his way in our school system in the world, and how we've seen how everything is just progressively getting worse, which it's not supposed to get bad. We know that it's prophecy that the devil's going to have his way. But if you're with me again, chapter 3 in 1 Corinthians and verses 6 through 9, and before we start, I'll ask Lord's blessing over the reading. Good morning, Father, Lord. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be in here and preach your word, God, Lord. It's just humbling, Lord, and it's a blessing, God. And I pray that you just be with Ethan this morning. He's delivering the message, God. I pray you stand and strengthen him, Lord, to preach your word, God. And I pray that you have your will and way of the service this morning, Lord. I just pray for your blessing over the reading, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So if you're with me, we'll start in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And again, in verse 6, we'll talk about what we planted. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. So when we read this, we have three things we're going to break down. We find in verse 6, I have planted. As I said before, what are we planting? What are we talking about? What is Apollos planting? Or what is Paul planting, and what is Apollos watering? The second point we'll find in verse 9, we find the term husbandry, and we're going to break down what that means, which is another word for that is tillage. And then the third thing we'll find is God gives increase, and we'll find that in verses 6, the beginning, and then 7 at the very end. And so we have 3 points if you're taking notes this morning. We have, what are we planting? Or we are planting a seed, we are planting it into prepared ground, and then 3, God gives increase. So that's going to be the 3 points we're going to go over this morning. So point number 1, as we talked about, what are we identifying? What are we talking about? What is the seed that we're planting? And as a Christian, I believe that we are planting the gospel. That's the seed that we're planting. So it says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so an illustration I'd like to use, if we are a store owner, we own a garden center, we are selling a product that we have researched, that we know that we're selling, that we know that's going to grow. And so as a Christian, we have to be the same way in God's word. We have to know what we're selling to these people. We have to know, as a store owner, what we're going to give to these people. And as a Christian, on the flip side of things, there's a double standard. So we are selling the seed, but not only are we selling the seed, we're receiving the seed. So this is my seed. This is the seed that I'm reaping. This is a product that I'm selling. If I'm a store owner, this is what I have to know. This is what I have to research. And as Christians, we have to be the same way, because we know that God's word is the seed. We know that it's alive. It don't contradict itself. It's perfect. And we know that as a seed, we have to give a perfect seed in order for it to grow. So Paul is telling us that I have planted and Apollos has watered. So again, we see that Apollos is watered. And as we've talked about before, as Christians, we all work together. And then it goes again in verse 9. Verse 8, now we have planted and he that watereth are one. So what's this saying? Not only do we have to know what we're planting, but we have to be willing to water. And so I think a lot of times in my ministry, if I go through all these things, it's never see one person saved, but it's the next guy that somebody gets saved in his ministry, then I might be watering. I might be planting, but the next guy's watering. As Christians, we have to know that God wants to use us. God has a plan for our lives, but it may not be what we want. It may not be what we think we deserve, but we don't deserve anything, and God allows us to be a part of his plan, so we have to know what seed we're selling. We have to realize that God has a plan. I may be planting, and you may be watering, but we have to know that God has a plan to use Christians in the day and time that we're living in. And so we find that we understand that's what we're selling. That's God's word is what we're selling. And where we're planting the seed, you're thinking, so we broke down what we're selling. We broke down that the seed is God's word. So we find now that where are we going to plant the seed? And so we find in verse 9, we find, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So we find this word husbandry, or another word, tillage, means to cultivate or preparation of land. So you may be sitting there and you're like, well, why am I going to plant God's word in the ground? Well, we find this, we'll take a step back. So we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of dust of the ground. We again find in Genesis 3, chapter 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And thirdly, we find it that in the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, says, the field is the world. So we find out that what we're talking about, God's husbandry, you're the tillage. We're finding out that we're supposed to plant the seed into the ground. We are supposed to plant the seed that man who haven't heard the word, people who aren't saved, as Christians, God is allowing us to be a part of this world to plant his seed. As we know in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, and then again in Matthew 13, that we find that what we're talking about, what God's talking about preparing the ground, is we're talking about Christians, we're talking about people who aren't Christians. We're talking about the day and time we're living in where we find people who are unsaved. And we know that today, we all know somebody that's lost. We all know somebody either we work with, we see, we know that we went to school with, we know people who are lost. This is the ground that we're talking about. This is what Paul's talking about in verse 9. And so, some of you might know that I work on a golf course. I still work on a golf course. Blake used to work there with me. And a lot of times when we have ground that won't grow seed, or there's wore spots just because that's how a golf course is, there'll be spots that get wore down from people always driving on it, or there's just simply some places that won't grow grass. So when we go out there, a lot of times they just look barren. They're black, there's no grass. And you can't just go out there and throw seed on the ground. Our boss will send us out there and we have to prepare the ground. We have to till the ground. We have to be the tillage for the ground because we know that grass seed will not grow if you just simply throw it down. And so as a Christian, we have to understand that sometimes that when we see these people, we have to handle, I call it a little TLC, tender, loving care. You have to be careful with the ground. You have to love the ground. You have to prepare the ground because you can't just go up to somebody. And we know that through God, he came in the form of man. He sent his only son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, down the cross. We know that. And we know if you don't accept him, we know that you don't have eternal life, but you'll die and go to hell. We know that. That's what we believe. That's what the Bible tells us. But you don't simply go up to a sinner and just throw the seed in their face. You don't throw the gospel in their face. You have to prepare the ground. You have to till the ground. And a lot of times, it's not just going up and preaching the gospel. And I know a lot of times you may, well, what's he saying? But a lot of times, as Christians, we have a target on our back because the way of the world is going in one direction. We know that we're not of the world. It tells us that the field is the world. So we know that the field is multitude. We know that there are lost people everywhere, and we know they're going one way. We know how the world is forcing them. As Christians, if you're walking the opposite direction, which we should be, we shouldn't be walking with the world, which we should be walking opposite, people's going to notice you. People's going to notice that you're walking in a different direction. So a lot of times as a Christian, we have this target on our back where people want to look at us. They want to watch us. They want to see when we mess up. We want to see how we handle our trials. And this is a lot of times how we witness. There's people that I work with, and simply, if you don't want to offend them, but you want to live your life so they're like, well, that's what a Christian's about. That's what I want to be. And that's sometimes how you prepare the ground. Just ask them how they're doing, or show them that you care, because as a Christian, that's how we have to be. We hate the sin, but love the sinner. And that's one way that we can plant the seed or prepare the ground, because as we know, you can't just throw the seed down on ground that's not been prepared. And at the end of the day, another thing that I noticed is sometimes as a Christian, we think that if we share the gospel, invite someone to church once and they don't come, we think, well, that's it. And I noticed another thing when we used to plant that grass, when Tim used to send us out there, is sometimes it won't be the first time, now would it, Blake? It would be once or twice. It'd be two or three times. And sometimes it would even be the very last week of the season when that spot started to grow. And as a Christian, that's how you have to be. You have to be persistent because you don't know where that line is. Them right there, them getting saved, them right there turning their back. Maybe the line right there and you keep throwing the grass. You keep throwing the grass and you get right here. You're right here so close and you're like, I'm done. I've done it 5, 6 times. I'm done. And all you have to do is cross that line. Be persistent as a Christian to know that just keep trying. It took me 17 years of my life to get saved. If somebody had quit on me, there's no telling where I would be. And so as a Christian, you have to understand that there's people watching you. There's people who's watching your daily life. There's people who's watching what you say and how you say and how you act, and just know, be persistent. And if there is somebody that you're inviting to church, keep inviting them. You never know when that time, you never know when that seed's going to take place. You never know when it's going to start growing in that bare spot. But at the end of the day, we know that as a Christian, that we don't give the increase. I don't save nobody. You guys don't save nobody. And if you're relying on somebody that you've heard preaching, like, well, they saved me because they were preaching that, then you need to get your salvation right, because man does not save anyone. God saves souls. And so we find again in verse 6 and 7, which would be the third point if you're still following. So we've discussed what the seed is, the first point. We know that that's God's word. We know that the gospel is the seed that we want to plant. And where do we plant? We find that in point 2. We plant it in the ground. We're God's husbandry. We're supposed to prepare the ground. We're supposed to till the ground. But thirdly, we find that God gives the increase, that we know that man is not sufficient enough to save souls. So in point three, we find that God gives the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And then in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So we find that, as we talked about earlier, I believe, as Christians, that God allows us to be a part of his plan. And it's such a humbling plan to be a part of, that God, the creator of the universe, allows you to be a part of his plan furthering the gospel. And a lot of times we find, I hate to chase rabbit, but a lot of times we find in our trials that we think that we're being punished. But we know that in Daniel chapter 3, when we're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that their trial for King Nebuchadnezzar showed them that there is one true God. So a lot of times in trials, when God is using you, it's for people to look in and be like, that's what a Christian is. Because, you know, a lot of times we have hope. We have hope in our trials. And as Christians, we think when we're in our trials that God's punishing us. But this is just another way for him to use us in his plan to further the gospel. We think of Paul in Philippians when he's in prison, and he tells us how the guards, because he had that hope while he's in prison, how he witnessed to the guards. And a lot of times that's how God can use us. But at the end of the day, God gives the increase. So we find that God is light in John 1:5. And so I hope to tie this all back in, since we're talking about a seed, we're talking about a garden, we're talking about growing a plant. So we find in 1 John 1:5 that God is light. We find that. And then again in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it's talking about God the Son. We're talking about Jesus Christ, is referred to as the Son of Righteousness. And the Son that it's saying, it's describing, is S-U-N, as we're talking about the sun in the sky. And again, we find in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 4, we're talking about when the three wise men are going to see Jesus. We're talking about they followed the east star, and we all know that the sun rises in the east. So we know that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. We know that God is light. So now that we're talking about sunlight, we're talking about a seed. We find three rays with the sun. We find it has heat rays. We find, secondly, it has light rays. So you can feel the heat. You can see the light. And then thirdly, I hope there's no science teachers in here, anitic rays, which anitic is what makes chloroform in plants. So we know that, thirdly, that a plant has to have chloroform in order for photosynthesis. So we know that God gives the increase. We know that God is a source of all life. We know that because it tells us this. It breaks down in the Bible, as I talked about before. It does not contradict itself. This is truly God's inspired word. This isn't just some fairy tale thrown together. This is perfectly woven together. And it tells us this in verses, how Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, how he is the Son of God. He's only begotten from God, that God is light. God is the sun that grows the seed. So what this is saying, God must be in it in order for it to grow. And a lot of times we think of Samson, I believe, that he killed everyone with a jawbone, a dead jawbone. We know that God told him not to touch the dead jawbone. He told him to stay away from the dead. So we know a lot of times, out of the will of God, there can be things that happen. You can see a church that's out of the will of God that seems to be growing, but if we're not preaching that word, then we know that that's out of the will of God. So if God is in it, if you're in God's will, witnessing to people, God will grow it. And I like to talk about how this is the seed. We know that Jesus came. Jesus was God in the form of man. But this Bible that we have is God in the form of word. This is God inspired, we've talked about. And this is the seed we're planting. This is what gives life. This is what gives the increase. And as Christians, we have to know it. We have to research it. We have to be willing to know and willing to give and stand up for what we believe in a day and a time that's pushing Christians out. Because we know that Christians, today time, we're just an outcast. And that's what we're supposed to be. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not being popular, not getting in the popular crowd. Because I know where I'm going is going to be a lot better than a lot of places that they're going. And so we have to be willing to stand for Jesus' word. We have to be willing to stand for this seed. We have to be willing to stand and plant this seed, because we know that if we plant this seed, that God will give the increase. God gives us free will. God will give us the increase. So we'll go over everything. And Philip, if you want to come to the piano and play softly, if that's okay.
We'll start with the guitar.
Start with the guitar, okay. But we know, and I hate to put a damper on it December 1st, but we know if you aren't saved, and you die, we know that you go to heaven. And we know people that aren't saved. We know that. That's not us being, I'm not trying to be up here and be naive. We know people that we work with. I work with people who aren't saved. And as Christians, we have to be willing to plant that seed. That day and time that it's so dark. And as we talked about, we've got a lot of real estate to plant some seeds, if you guys want to agree with me. If we're talking about how the world is the ground that we're planting, we've got a lot of real estate. Right here in Avery County, You know, I pray and I support missionaries going out, but this is our Jerusalem. We have a lot of people in Avery County who are lost, who need to be saved, who need to be in church, who need to hear the word. And I pray for you guys, if everybody wants to stand up, every head bowed, every eye closed, the altar's open. I don't know if you guys do altar calls, but the altar's open. I'll pray for you. And if you don't want to come, just raise your hand. But I pray that if you're not the Christian, that you've been planting a seed, and I've been there. I'm not up here preaching something that I haven't experienced. I've been that Christian who hasn't lived that life. It's by God's grace that I'm here. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you've been there, we know people. If you just want to raise your hand, if you know somebody who's lost and needs praying for, if you just want to slip up your hand, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for that person. I'll pray for you. Because we're living in a day and time where I believe the Lord, I believe he could come back. I know that nobody knows, but I believe that the day of the Lord is getting closer and closer as we're living in these last days. You just want to slip up your hand if you know anybody who's lost, you just want to pray for, you want me to pray for. Or if you want strength, if there's a coworker or somebody you know that you work with that you come in contact every day, to pray for the right words to say, pray for the strength to say the right words, to plant that seed. Because we're living in a serious time. I don't want to put a damper on things, but the Bible tells us if you're not saved, then you don't see the kingdom of God. And as Christians, that's how we should be. We should want to further the gospel. As Christians, this is a seed that we don't want to hold in because we know what the seed holds. We should want to plant it. We should want to give it to people. It's a scary time we're living in. I'm not trying to use scare tactics. I promise I'm not. But I've been there, I've seen people, I've lived that life, and I know how dangerous it is. If it wasn't for somebody planting the seed and having persistence on me, I wouldn't be up here today. There's no telling where I'd be. But by God's grace, I'm here. But I pray that if there is someone, you know, I'll be praying for you, I'll be praying for this church. Dear Father, Lord, just want to come to you, God. I want to praise you for saving me, God. Lord, I'm undeserving of it all, Lord. And as Christians, we're the most undeserving people there are, Lord. There's not a single one of us in here that deserve eternal life, God. But because you loved us, you sent your Son, God. And I want to praise you for it, God. I want to praise you for this opportunity, Lord, that you have allowed me to come and preach your word, God. God, I pray you be with this church, God. I pray you be with everyone in here, God. I pray you cast a hedge of protection around them, Lord, as they go out to the and to work tomorrow, Lord, and for the rest of the week, God. But there's co-workers, Lord. There's people that we know in the community that we went to school with, Lord, that we have daily interaction with, God, Lord, that are lost, God. We pray as Christians, Lord, you give us the strength, Lord, to plant that seed, Lord, so you can give the increase, God. God, I want to praise you for allowing us to be a part of your plan, God, that it's so humbling, Lord. Not only do we not deserve to be saved, God, but to be a part of your plan. It's just humbling, Lord. God, I want to praise you for your word, God. I praise you for the seed that you planted in me, God. I want to thank you for all that you do, God. Again, Lord, I pray that you be with Brother Phil, God. I pray you be with this church, Lord. I just thank you for all that you do and all your many blessings. In your precious name, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.